You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
The hardest working politician, elected official in Baldwin County, right?
On the Eastern Shore.
On the Eastern Shore. I couldn't quite remember. Jay was saying that this is the sixth year in a row the Fairhope Mayor has won that Nappy Award.
And that's great.
That's cool. Very cool. And then I saw you on TV last night talking about the roundabout.
That's right.
Which is on Section or Veterans Drive and 104 there by the flower clock.
That's right.
I know that's been approved, so are we getting closer to it starting? What's going on?
Well, right now they're doing the engineering, and we know that the funding will not be available till at least October of this year. So I would say we'll probably get through the holiday season, and then the first of next year is probably when I would think that it would start.
Okay, that particular intersection has been a bit contentious at times for accidents.
It has. You know, and there's so many roads that converge right there. You've got Section Street, people coming in on Veterans Drive. You've got what is now Triangle Drive. And then you've got Scenic 98 all kind of coming into that area. And it has been an area where there's been multiple accidents, a lot of speeding through that area. So I think the roundabout will help. Our intent is to never completely close that road, that they'll do half of it, then the other half. You know, a lot of these areas you see that they completely close the road. But we know that that's a main thoroughfare through town. We don't want to have to do that, so we're going to do everything possible we can to keep traffic flowing as much as we can. There may be some intermittent traffic delays, but we're going to try to keep traffic flowing through there if we can.
That would be nice, because the one at 32 and 13, which is technically a county project,
it is
just, you know, a terrible inconvenience and out of folks' way.
But I am staying in touch with the county on that project. Joey Nunley does a great job communicating with us about that. It is on target. You know, that's slated to complete in October, and it is on target. Obviously, you're going to have rain delays. We have these big afternoon showers that, you know, dump a lot of rain here, and you can't work in those conditions. But he did assure me a couple weeks ago that it is still on target to wrap up in October.
He was here several months ago, right when the project was starting, and gave a real good detailed explanation of why it takes what it takes why it takes so long.
Right.
So I gained a better understanding and told
other
folks. He does
a great job.
Listen to that, because, unfortunately, when you think you've got 5 working days and then you subtract for weather, et cetera.
That's right. And you know, in Joey's defense, they reached out to private property owners there to try to find a way around that roundabout and around that construction, and just were not able to work that out. So they do make every attempt they can to keep traffic flowing, but sometimes it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to our Fairhope City Council meeting, and we'll start with the work session. There was a discussion about changing an ordinance for garbage and trash.
Right.
What was that?
So this is the second time this has been discussed. And actually, probably when I first took office, we had some folks contacting us. When you live in an apartment building, everybody who comes into the city of Fairhope is charged a garbage fee. It doesn't matter if you receive the service or not, you're charged a garbage fee. There's a lot that's calculated into that fee. It's the, you know, operation of the landfill, it's the street sweeper, it's keeping the parks nice and tidy, somebody to pick up litter. So there's a lot of things that go into that fee. It's just not about picking up your garbage. It's about curbside pickup if you have a sofa or a, you know, a appliance, that
there is
a fee associated with that, but we don't always charge the fee. So we have had people who've come to us that said, hey, we live in an apartment, we're being charged the $20 fee, and we're not getting the service, and we'd like to see if you would waive that fee. So that's how this kind of came about, that we started looking at this. So the way the ordinance reads right now is that if you live in subsidized housing and you only receive income from Social Security, that you could qualify for an exemption. The burden's going to be on you to prove that. So you would have to go, we'd have a form for you. You go to your apartment complex. They could verify that, yes, you live in subsidized housing. Yes, your only income is from Social Security. You would bring that form to the city, and we would give you an exemption. If you don't live in subsidized housing, but you can prove that you're only getting income from Social Security, then we would give you a 50% discount if you're not getting that service. And, again, part of that is because the other things that factor into that, the street sweeper, the landfill, those kind of things. So we're trying to do what we can to, you know, to make this better for people and to make it fair. The other thing is we're going to be doing is if you, right now we offer backdoor service to a lot of the businesses downtown in particular that may or may not have a dumpster. Some of them had opted not to have a dumpster because it is so expensive to have a dumpster. And so they might have 10 trash cans, or gas stations might have 10 trash cans. Well, we're charging them a one-time flat rate of like $20, then $5 per receptacle. You will now be charged per receptacle to pick that up. And the other thing is we will not pick up any receptacle that is not a City of Fairhope receptacle.
So what's the rate increase?
It would be, it's $20 per can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, we're not going up on the fee. The fee is $20. It has been $20, but it will be per receptacle versus, because we do, when we do those backdoor services, it does take our employees getting off trucks, going and pulling those cans. Because a lot of times, if you have an alleyway or you have a backdoor service, they have to go up and, you know, manually get the can and bring it and dump it versus using the automated trucks.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. And so that was approved last night?
It was not approved. It was discussed on the work session. Okay. We discussed it on the prior work session. And so we will come back. It's an ordinance, so they will discuss it again next meeting. It will lay over for 2 weeks, and then it would be voted on. So I would say you wouldn't see this change until at least September.
Okay. Anything else on the work session that you would like to mention?
I don't think so. We did review the capital budget, capital improvements. We gave that to the council last night. You know, we're every work session in June, July, and August, we are updating the council on the budget. And last night we provided them with a copy of all the capital improvements and capital requests from each of the departments so they could review that, ask questions. Obviously, they did not have it beforehand, so they weren't able to formulate any questions, but it does give them opportunity to review it and sit in on some of those departments that they have some concern over or be able to ask questions before we pass the budget.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the agenda. Was a report of the mayor. Anything you would like to share with us here this morning?
I think the only thing I really had in my report of the mayor is one thing I'm really excited about was the Nichols Street substation. Most people know that's been under construction for some time now. When I took office, there was some conversation that we might not be able to have that substation operational as timely as we thought that it was going to be. So it is finally operational. They have been able to transfer loads over to that, and really exciting to be able to do that. So it's been a long time coming, and happy that we've been, you know, diligent about that. And now we're working on wrapping up the Morphy substation, so we'll be able to connect everything, and gives us the opportunity again to switch some of those loads off different substations to be able to you know, do maintenance or do the things that we need to do.
All part of the
electrical
infrastructure
upgrades.
Improvement.
That's correct. And that's $14 million in substation upgrades that we have not had to borrow money for. So that's huge. That's a lot of money and a lot of upgrades to our electrical system. And at the next meeting, Lance Junkin from Stewart Engineering will be here to give an update on our five-year plan for electrical and to let the council know what shape our system is in. We just did a system study. So I'm really excited for him to be able to present that as well.
Very good.
Talked about that, and also wanted to mention that Councilman Conyers today was his birthday, so wished him happy birthday. And also talked about the Force Main infrastructure project on Fairhope Avenue that we are very hopeful that's going to wrap up in the next 2 weeks. So getting that, you know, getting ready for the start of school. So there may be some intermittent traffic interruptions, but nothing too major, and hopefully we'll have that road open just in time for back to school.
Very good. I read that part in the newsletter.
Yes.
Which we want to encourage folks to sign up for the e-newsletter from the City of Fairhope that's coming out every other week.
Every other week.
And you just go to the website
and
you'll see where you can sign up.
It's good information.
It really is.
Yes.
We appreciate having that. Let's see here. Number 7, the City of Fairhope Right-of-Way Construction and Administration Ordinance. This was so when contractors are coming in, if they mess up, they've got to fix it.
They do have to fix it. But there's a lot of other things that go along with that, too. I mean, there's a lot of things in a right-of-way ordinance. It's, you know, this will govern anything that happens on the city right-of-way. So it might be sidewalks. It might be putting benches out on right-of-way. It might be putting your personal stuff out on right-of-way. There's a lot of things that are covered in this ordinance. I would encourage people, if you do anything that involves a city right-of-way, that you get a copy of this ordinance, you review it, because these are new regulations, and we are going to be more diligent about enforcing some of that.
So the only thing I can think of is, say, putting our debris and limbs
out front
on the right-of-way.
That's all I do at home.
Is that going to change?
No.
But now I do have an instance where I saw someone cleaning out some big bushes, and they brought in one of those big Draco backhoes, mm-hmm. some kind of things, right. and it crumpled up some asphalt.
Then they will be in trouble for that.
So, yeah,
they will have to repair that.
Okay.
Yeah, or, you know, do them work in the right-of-ways. Most people are familiar right now. We've had a lot of companies in putting fiber in. Yeah. This will dictate what they can do on our right-of-ways. Obviously, we have franchise agreements with these companies, and there are fees attached to if they damage any of our property. But a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in the right-of-way that people just aren't familiar with because it happens under the ground. So, again, if you do any kind of work, construction work in the right-of-way, I would suggest that you get a copy of this ordinance and you familiarize yourself with it.
Okay.
It's so, very long.
But regular citizens, it's not going to affect
us. We won't
us.
See too much of a difference.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Let's see here. Number 9, the site plan for review for the development at Ingleside and Nichols. It says B3B. Mm-hmm. This is a combination of what? Offices, condos, and a bed and breakfast?
It's commercial and townhomes. So it's some commercial buildings and some townhomes. I believe there's 8 townhomes and 2 commercial buildings on that property. Most people are familiar with it. It's Nancy Lewis's homestead there at Nichols and Ingleside. It's a green and white house. It's a stone uh-huh. house. And so there's some historical value to that house because of Nancy Lewis. And so there will be a historical marker there. And the developer was there last night and spoke, you know, said that he would be committed to putting the historical marker there to recognize that it's her home. But also, you know, this is going to be a great addition to that area. You know, for a long time, we've talked about that whole area through there that we would like to see that kind of almost as a warehouse district. You've got the bakery, you've got District Hall, you've got the brewery, now you've got Hope Farm. That whole kind of corridor through there has taken a turn, and really I think this is going to be a good improvement to that area and something people will be excited to see.
It says it's in the medical overlay district.
Correct.
Which is Thomas and the surrounding
right.
Thomas Hospital.
Right.
So do you anticipate medical commercial?
To be honest, they did not mention okay. medical commercial. I mean, and it doesn't have to be, but you know, I don't know what will go in the commercial buildings. They did not mention that
okay.
last night.
Number 10, that the City of Fairhope support the ALDOT's application for a bridge investment program grant and any other sources of federal funding that may become available. Is this for the I-10 bridge?
It is. Again, we continue to look for ways to support additional funding for the bridge, and this is just another way that we can do that as a municipality, saying if there is this grant opportunity or any other grant opportunities that we would support the MPO applying for those or ALDOT applying for those.
Just a good blanket statement
it
to
is.
Cover any
Anything.
Way to get some funding.
We've done this twice,
yeah.
you know, because the mega grant was one that we did a resolution of support, but this will support any other grant that may become available.
Very good. It is 8:37, by the way, 81 degrees, WABF. We are visiting with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan about last night's city council meeting. Resolution number 11, transferring the lease from Gambino's to TBT Fairhope LLC. This is for the restaurant and the boat slips on the marina.
That's right. So this is for the restaurant and the marina out on the pier. We are basically reassigning that lease to TBT LLC, and so it would get it out of the Gambino's affiliates, their LLCs, get it out of their name and transfer this lease to another entity.
How long is remaining on that lease?
15 years.
Oh!
Yeah. And
wow, you saw the shock
know,
on my face because this is almost an albatross, is it not, for the city?
It I is. Mean, to be honest, it was a very poorly written lease, and it gives the city it does not give the city any teeth to be able to do much. There, we can't legally withhold reassigning the lease according to the current lease that we have. There are some provisions in there where they have to get approval for us to do certain things, like to make improvements, to paint, to do things like that. But as far as reassigning the lease, the city really does not have an option legally.
Wow. Because if I understand it correctly, say it's been closed now, what, a year?
Two years.
No revenue for the city. And yet the people that held the lease
there's utility,
didn't have
there's
to
utility,
pay.
There's utility revenues. And Lori, I will tell you, there were concessions made on both sides. I mean, the city, we stayed in constant contact with Mr. Gambino. You know that he's a business owner here in Fairhope. I mean, obviously with COVID and with Sally, there was some due diligence on the city's part to be able to do renovations out there to reestablish utilities and some other things. So it wasn't all Mr. Gambino's fault. I mean, and again, we stayed in communication. He did pay his utilities. You know, once those got reestablished, he paid those utility bills. We knew this, that he was looking for somebody to buy that lease. We knew this was in the works. We wanted some improvements out there. We knew that. So we were able to, you know, we wanted to work with him and cooperate to make sure that we got, you know, something the city could be proud of, and got a partner that we knew that we could work with.
I was not in any way insulting Mr. Gambino.
No.
I'm more frustrated with the lease itself and yes. how the city and, could let this
and
happen.
You're not alone.
15 years.
You're not alone.
To go.
You're not alone.
Okay. There,
all the city leadership, I would think, is on board with the fact that it is not a very good lease. It is not favorable to the city, and that we are hopeful that the new owners, we can negotiate a new lease. But the reassignment of this lease was the first step in that.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
What do we know? Anything about TBT Fairhope from Bay St. Louis?
I don't want to steal their thunder. Okay. I think they want to make an announcement, but I do think that people will be pleasantly surprised with what they have planned.
Okay.
I think it will be a great addition to that area, and they will be a great partner for Fairhope.
Okay, good. Number 13 on the agenda. This is a big one.
A big one.
A $7.5 million number for the city council to award a bid for water treatment plant number 3 expansion.
Correct.
And it looks like a 2-year, $3 million in 2022, $4.5 million in 2023.
That's right.
That's a lot of money. What are we doing?
It is. This is all part of the water capacity, you know, that we've been talking about. So we are drilling some new wells, and this will establish the new well number 11, and also we'll have a test well for number 12. It will rehab number 3, which currently will treat 1 million gallons of water. This will raise that capacity to almost 3 million gallons. So it's going to be a huge addition for our water capacity, something that is absolutely necessary. Again, we've rehabbed some wells, put some new pumps in and stuff, but as far as digging a new well, have not done that in 15 years. And with our population growth, this is absolutely one of those infrastructure projects that we really do not have a choice.
And so this has been budgeted for the current year and for next year.
And we can budget for next year because we know that it could, to be honest, with supply chain issues and stuff, it could span 3 budget years.
Mm-hmm.
We hope not. That's not the plan right now. But yes, 2 budget years we will split.
But this is a major accomplishment.
Oh, it's
and
major.
Another major
yes,
infrastructure
upgrade. And we continue to do those. And I keep telling people, you know, the restore projects open in the next 2 weeks. All those restore projects to line all those sewer lines, to rehab 2,500 manholes, to rehab lift stations, those open in the next 2 weeks. You're going to continue to see these infrastructure projects. And I know they're inconvenient. I know people don't like traffic interruptions, but they are absolutely necessary to manage the growth that we're seeing right now.
Yes, very good. Number 14 for the Arts Alley Downtown Transit Hub. A resolution to award a bid of $1,687,000.
Are you sick of seeing this project, Lori?
Well, I'm excited to actually see it start happening. Yes. You mean, am I sick of seeing it on paper?
Sick of hearing about it?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't happen while the Church Street
right.
Infrastructure
no,
Project
no.
was here. And
we're excited about it. There are still some hoops to jump through, to be honest. We did get one bid. Again, we feel like the number is good. I mean, based on inflation and based on what we're seeing in construction. But it is subject to making sure FTA approves everything and ALDOT approves everything, because it is a federal highway project, because it is a transit hub. We are putting in a transit hub there that will include some shelters, some restrooms to be able to accommodate BRATS buses so people can park there. They can, you know, go to other places. We can shuttle them to downtown with the shuttle. So it will do so many improvements in that alleyway. There'll be some aesthetic improvements as far as some bricking. There'll be stormwater improvements. But the main focus of it is that it does become a transit hub.
I still have trouble imagining how all that's going to fit in that little space.
It's going to.
But
it's going to.
And this is, like you mentioned, with ALDOT and what... This is not just the city's project.
No, it is not.
Is this MPO money?
It's MPO
okay.
money, and the city's commitment is just a little over $400,000. And it really was a 20% match, but because we opted to do some aesthetic upgrades, it was an additional $100,000 for the city. And then, again, Single Tax is also a partner because they've agreed to fund the arts component of that, which will be right here on Church Street that you'll get to look at every day, the beautiful sculpture by Bruce Larson.
Good.
So excited about that, and also some wayfinding to help people better navigate the parking area.
And if you missed Jay Robinson and I talk about it or previously, this is that little alley or street that runs behind what was Fairhope Hardware and what is the Chamber. That's and right. The Bone and Barrel, and there's a bank, I believe it's a different name now, in between that
M&M.
And the parking garage.
Yes, and I think the timing, to be honest, I mean, they say everything happens for a reason. I think the timing of this is going to be great because we're going to finish up the Church Street infrastructure project. The hardware store, I think, will at some point pretty quickly start some construction. So I think we'll be able to coordinate all that. And again, just remind people, we are going to look at the seasonal activities to make sure we keep traffic flowing and to keep traffic. We'll do this in phases. The alleyway, the transit hub, to make sure we keep traffic flowing through there because it's a lot of deliveries and the parking deck will never not be accessible.
So it will still be an access drive
it
with
will be.
Vehicles.
It will be.
Huh. Okay.
It will be.
All right. Resolution number 21, that the City of Fairhope amends the budget for 21-22 as recommended.
Yeah, you've seen a couple of these the past 2 weeks, and this is just reallocating money from one general ledger number to another within departments because they may be over in general supplies but need more money in maintenance, so it's just a reallocation. It's not increasing the budget in any way, just reallocating that money to make sure they can cover in each general ledger number what they need.
Okay, all right. Anything else from the meeting last night? Any public participation or comments or anything else you'd like to pass on?
No, I don't think so. I did want to remind everybody that on Wednesday night, we have the back-to-school event with the police department at the Methodist Church. That is the where they give out the backpacks and the school supplies and the uniforms and haircuts, and they will be serving hot dogs, so anybody who would like to attend that. And also, the other thing I just wanted to mention is that we were able to last night, which really excited about doing that, is to secure some virtual training for the police department. I think that's something that the police chief, when she's on, Lori, can fill you in on. But this is a great de-escalation tool and a great training tool for our local police department. And I love the fact that some of our council members got to go through this training along with myself several months ago and was really able to see, what an impact this can make. I kind of joked, this is nothing to joke about, but I kind of joked with Kevin Boone last night because there was one scenario in this where there is a man that gets stopped by the police department. He has a young child in the car and there was access to a gun. And she was fearful for her father being arrested by law enforcement, so she got out with the gun. And you, as the police officer, have the option of subduing the child, taking care of the child, and the child ended up shooting Councilman Boone because he was the police officer because he could not de-escalate that situation.
Wow.
So it just really plays through some great scenarios and really will be great training for our law enforcement. And really, I think taking the council members and myself through that training, it really opened our eyes to how important this is, especially with what law enforcement is dealing with today.
And you're speaking with an item that was approved last night, $68,000 for a virtual interactive course and training academy.
Right. You can actually even go in and scan city buildings or scan a church or scan this building and they can do active shooter scenarios.
Wow.
So it is going to be something that's really a game changer for our training in our police department.
Awesome. Well, I do have one more question because I got a press release from the Baldwin County about a meeting tomorrow concerning the Baldwin County Materials Recycling Facility.
The MRF.
Mm-hmm. Is this what you were telling us, a MRF, I see you're calling it, MRF, where Fairhope and other municipalities can join with the county for all of our recyclables?
That's correct, which is, again, a great thing for Baldwin County and a great thing for Fairhope because, as most people know, we're traveling to Escambia County right now to dispose of our recyclables. And so this will be, less time, less wear and tear. It'll be a partnership that we'll have with the county as well as the other municipalities. So they're funding this with some grant money, I believe, either through Restore. I think it's Restore or Go Mesa. But it is, it will be a great thing for Baldwin County, a great thing for Fairhope. And Richard Johnson is representing the city at that meeting because he's more familiar with recycling, him and Dale, than anybody else. But it's going to be a great thing. Great thing for our county and great thing for all the municipalities from a money savings perspective, but also, again, from recycling something that we know is important to a lot of our residents.
I had heard, actually, Mobile sent out a notice that their recycling, they weren't able to pick up, I think, glass because of their recycling center. I think they use the same one in Florida that we do. What kind of limitations do we have now? Is our recyclables being recycled?
They are. They had a conveyor belt that went down, I believe, at Escambia County, so they were doing some maintenance. We were able to stockpile some stuff until they opened, got that repaired and back up. Our glass, we actually take to Atlanta once a month, so we don't take to Escambia County. But yeah, there have been some challenges. You know, they had that fire, they shut down for a while. So there have been some challenges. And again, the wear and tear on vehicles to transport those recyclables over there. But we just don't have an option closer than Escambia County right now. So
this will be a
big deal for Baldwin County and for Fairhope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea on its target?
I would say we're probably 2 years, to be honest. I mean, it could be a little bit less, but with supply chain issues and everything else, construction right now, I would say you're probably 18 months to 2 years.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I don't think
All
so.
Right. Thank you so Thank much. You. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us generally the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings.